If anybody sees a black Bible with my name on the outside, would you bring it to me? Oh, here we go, right here. That's it. Thank you. Appreciate that. What a beautiful woman that did that. Thank you. Looked all over for that thing and went and found another one in my office real quickly and paperclipped it like I'm supposed to, and here we are. Last week, we hammered husbands. Numerous men have come to me this week and said, "We know what you're going to do. You tell us you're going to be whacking women, but you're really going to nail us again just like you usually do." I say, get over it, guys. It's a paranoia. You're weak, and we are going to whack women this week. So, ladies, here we go. Last week, the guys cheered me on, and they applauded me, and they said, "Amen, hallelujah, preach it, brother." Guys, this is your week to do it. When you hear a point you agree with, give me some feedback, and we'll be all together. In the meantime, ladies, get your pens ready, okay? Guys, you've got my permission to hand your wife your pen this morning, your Bible, let her take notes, because this week, we're going to deal with ladies. If you were with us last week, we based our sermon upon a book that was published by Gary and Barbara Rosberg. And in that book, they did a survey literally of thousands of couples across America in numerous evangelical churches. And they ascertained the five top love needs of a woman and the five of a man. Last week, we looked at the love needs of a woman. We called it queens. Here's what we found from their survey. Greatest need of a woman is unconditional love, followed by intimacy. Intimacy for a woman is spelled, do you remember last week? T-A-L-K. Spiritual leadership from her husband, encouragement from her husband, and friendship with other ladies. Those were the top five love needs of a female. When I did this series back in 2001, I actually used this same book and these same results. And if you're with us in, one of the ladies came to me and said, "Well, your series on men is going to be easy," or when you get to the point on men, when you talk about their five top love needs, that's going to be pretty easy. Most of us women can help you with that. The first one is sex. The second one is sports. The third one is sex. The fourth one is food. And the fifth one is sex. I told her, as a man, I was insulted that she put food over sports in that list. As we look at this topic, though, we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5. So open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ladies, if you were not with us last week, I see we've had two packed houses today. It was 4th of July weekend. Everybody wasn't here. You can actually go to the web or you can fill out a form for a CD and make your husband listen to last week's message because it was addressed to him. This week, ladies, it's addressed to you. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything." Note well, it doesn't say women are to be submissive to men. It says that a woman is to be submissive to her husband. You've got one man that you need to be submissive to. Then in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love your own wife even as he loves himself, and let the wife," here you go, ladies, if you're writing your Bible, underline the last words here, "let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." We looked at the five type love needs of a woman last week. This week, we address you ladies. I began last week's message by saying, when God created man and woman, he wired us differently. Amen? Amen. We are wired differently in our home, just as you are wired differently in your home. How well do we understand one another? Last week, I gave you a test if certain things are male or female. And as we look at television programs, as we read books, as we look at different things, the generality out there, the stereotype is women are complex and men are simple. Women are complex creatures and men are simple creatures. Ladies, that's just not the case, is it? I mean, the reality of it is we're complex. We may not want to admit it. But we may not want to deal in certain realms. For instance, we don't want to deal in the emotional realm. A lot of times one guy told me, he said, "I got in touch with my emotions once." I said, "Don't come near me again." But we're complex. By the way, something happened to the air in between hours. Once again, you guys are in purgatory. If you start tithing over here, we'll make sure the air over here comes in your direction. Here's the reality. We are complex individuals as well. Ladies, how well do you understand men? How well do you understand your man? How well do you understand men in general? As I was fishing around for a video, I ran across this one that reveals, ladies, that you lack understanding about who we are. See if you can relate to some of these ladies as they try and explain what they see.
What is it that you wish you understood better about men? It's really not a loaded question.
Probably how their brain works.
How they think.
I just think men and women think differently. Any way you look at men and women think differently.
It's the difference between men and women, how they think. I mean, I don't think it's anything that they, you know, that they do on purpose. It's just how we're made, how we're geared.
They're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. All men.
I don't get a thing about them. Everything's backwards.
I don't understand anything about men.
Everything.
I don't understand anything about them.
They can't, like, express their feelings as good as we can.
Why are they proud of their burps?
Why they can't stop to ask for directions.
They don't communicate.
Why they're so messy. How they can't multitask like we can.
How they can sit around and play video games all day long.
Their obsession with the remote control and television.
All right, why do they quote The Godfather all the time?
Need to gamble.
They have a need to gamble?
Why they have to buy every tool and don't use it?
Why you can't teach them anything new.
Follow the order, you know, whatever they say.
Just agree with them.
Right.
I don't understand why they don't like to go shopping.
Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
Do you like to go to the football games?
I love them.
Oh, man, that backfired.
Men don't give compliments. Women have to ask for them. They don't know when to do it.
They're just not quick enough sometimes. You know, they're just not real quick sometimes.
You know? Slow? You mean slow?
Thinking, yeah.
Nothing. What I understand, I don't want to.
Well, let me get this. Okay, what you understand you wished you didn't?
Right.
Okay.
The immaturity side of it, I guess.
Like,
yes, yeah, it's like, and it's just a known fact. Guys, even though say you're the same age, like my fiance and I are the same age, he just always seemed to be a little bit more immature.
How they can be easily lazy.
Well, at least he's sugar-coated since he was standing here. Tell us how you really feel. He's sitting right here, but pretend he's not.
Why haven't they learned that women are always right? If they'll just listen to us, everything will be taken care of. There'll be no problems.
Ladies, it's obvious that you need some help understanding us. Okay? So I want to help you out this morning. Okay? I'm going to help you out a little bit. To help you understand, because we are men, there are certain things that are universally true for each of us, okay? Because I'm a man, when I lock my keys in the car, I will fiddle with the coat hanger long after hypothermia set in. Calling pop a lot is not an option. I will win this battle. Amen, men? Amen. There we go. Because I'm a man, I must hold the remote control TV in my hand while I watch TV. If the thing has been misplaced, I may miss a whole show looking for it, though one time I was able to survive by holding a calculator. Amen, guys? Need to hear from the men out there. Here we go. Because I'm a man, you don't have to ask me if I like the movie. Chances are, if you're crying at the end, I didn't like the movie. If you're feeling amorous afterwards, then I certainly at least remember the name of the movie and will recommend it to my buddies. Okay? Because I am a man, I think what you're wearing is fine. I thought what you were wearing 5 minutes ago was fine, too. Either pair of shoes is fine. With the belt or without the belt is fine. Your hair is fine. You look fine. Can we just go now? Amen. I get applause from the men. There we go. Okay. Here are some things, ladies. You need to know the way. These are some man rules, okay? Some man rules. You want to know how your husband thinks? Here's how he thinks, okay? If you're asked what is wrong and you say nothing, we believe you and we'll act like nothing is wrong. Okay? Second man rule. Ask what you want. Ask for what you want. Let us be clear on this one. Subtle hints don't work. Strong hints don't work. Obvious hints don't work. Just say what you want. It's not that hard. Okay? Man rules. Come to us with a problem only if you want help solving it. That's what we do. Sympathy is for girlfriends. Okay? Man rules. If something we said can be interpreted two ways and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant it the other way. Okay, man rules, right, guys? here we go. Final rule. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in argument. In fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. Don't get hysterical, ladies. Don't get hysterical. We can handle hysterical more than we can handle historical. When you keep digging it up over and over, it becomes a problem. We said last week that we are wired differently, and if we don't allow those differences to unite us and we let them divide us, our home will become a house of cards. We said that if we cannot see our differences as something that complement one another, and we cannot see our differences as that which should cause us to give praise to God, then our homes will become houses of cards and they'll crumble. I could parade up here a number of people and say, Gary, let me walk up and tell them what it's like. Let me tell them what it's like to have that foundation crumble. Many of you have been there. Many of you said, man, I messed up the first time around, and I got by God's grace. Maybe some of you have been restored by God's grace. Some of you in different relationships that he's taken to whole different levels because now you walk with Christ. All this begins with knowing Jesus Christ and him as the foundation of your life. Without that, men and women, you're on a faulty foundation. If you have that, you can go forward. So what are the five needs of a dude? We're not going to say love needs of a guy. I mean, we're going to talk about the desires of a dude, okay? What are his desires? According to the survey that the Rosbergs did a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, this is the results. Their need, the number one need of a man is respect. Ephesians 5:33 bears that out. Nevertheless, let each individual among you love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about how Sarah respected her husband Abraham. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. The word respect in Ephesians 5:33 is an interesting word. It's the Greek word phobetai. We get the word phobia from it. It refers to a fear. Not fear in the sense of cowering from someone, but sense of having a deep respect for someone. We talk about the fear of the Lord. It's the exact word that's used three other times in the New Testament to talk about how we should fear God. And so, ladies, when it says husbands respect your or wives respect your husbands, specifically, he uses that word phobetai, and he says wives make sure that you reverence your husband, you fear your husband out of deep respect. Ladies, let me let you in on a little secret. When you respect your husband, when he has your love, your support, and your acceptance, he feels like he can conquer the world. When things are right with Bevan, myself, at home, I can conquer the world. When things are askew, my world is askew. Likewise, ladies, when you love and respect and care for your husband, you support him, he feels like he can go out and conquer the world. Conversely, when your love, support, and acceptance is not available, his world is out of sorts. Last week I gave the first point for women was your need for unconditional love, and I gave your husband about 6 or 7 things he can do to demonstrate unconditional love to you. Ladies, you ready? Get your pens ready? Some ways for you to display unconditional love to your husbands. Or not unconditional love, but respect to your husbands. You respect your husband when you speak highly of him to your friends. When you speak highly of your husband to your friends, you respect your husband. When you diss your husband to your friends, when you speak disrespectfully about your husband to your friends, when you speak to your friends and you kind of drag him through the dirt, instead of respecting your husbands, you're dissing your husbands. You respect your husband when you speak highly of him to your friends. Secondly, you respect your husband when you do not argue with or correct him in front of your kids. He says something to the kids and you immediately interrupt and you're going to correct him or you're going to say, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way. You disrespect your husband. You respect your husband when you don't blow the budget that you agreed upon. Amen, men? Guys, you're not talking to me. What's the deal out there? Your ladies were all excited about this last week. I mean, you honor your husband when you don't blow the budget you agreed upon. You honor your husband when you don't speak negatively of his family. We've got a rule in our house. The rule is this. I can say things about my family. My folks are sitting here. They're dear, godly folks. I can say things about my folks. Bev can say things about her folks, but not vice versa. It's a great rule to have. Even if your spouse had bad parents, it drives a hole in his heart if you speak negatively about them. And so that's a good rule to adopt. I can speak negatively about my folks, which I don't have to. Rare occasion. Never. ever. Bev can speak negatively about her folks, but never the opposite. You disrespect your husband when you nag. Anybody married to a nag out there? Let me see your hands. We had one brave guy last hour raise his hand. His wife liked to broke it when she pulled it down. How many of you women would say, I'm bossy? Gary, I admit I'm a bossy wife and I nag. Let me see your hands, ladies. Be honest out there. Raise them high in front of God and the whole world. There you go. I appreciate you ladies for being honest. Now the rest of you ladies, we'll talk about lying in a minute. Don't be a nagging, bossy wife. We're going to look at some Proverbs in a few minutes. I mean, you don't want to grow up looking like this when you get older. He's the guy, when he was younger, he told a friend, he said, I'd really like to take one of those assertiveness court training courses, but my wife won't let me. He's the guy, came in after working hard all day one day, came in from the office, dog tired. He looked at his wife and said, we're not going out tonight, and that's semifinal. You'll catch it a little later. Ladies, you disrespect us when you always tell us how to drive. Hey, we've got GPSs. We don't know where we're going. We can figure it out. You're not going to believe this, ladies. Some of your husbands can actually find their way to places when they're alone. Can you believe that? Without you being there to tell them where to turn, and how to get there. Can you believe that? He can actually, he's a big boy. He's put his big boy pants on, and he can find his way to the places he's trying to get to when you're not there. I know it astonishes some of you. I adopted the Daniel Boone philosophy. Daniel Boone said this, I can't say I was ever lost, but I was bewildered once for 3 days. Fortunately, Bev doesn't do that. I tell you, Bev was good about that. She didn't tell me how to drive, how to go places. She knows I can find my way. You've heard this before. A wife was making breakfast. She was scrambling or frying some eggs and some bacon. The husband burst in the kitchen. He started screaming, careful, careful, put in some more butter. You're cooking too many at one time. Too many. Turn them now. You need more butter. Where are you going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Careful, careful. I said, you never listen to me when you're cooking. Never turn them up. Hurry up. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't put salt in them. You know, the wife finally looked at him and said, what is wrong with you? He said, I just want you to know what it makes it feel like when I'm driving. Ladies, you disrespect us when you do things like that. I mean, it's just disrespectful. You disrespect us when you're not content. I can't tell you a number of men over the years who have told me, I can't satisfy my wife. I'll never satisfy my wife. Another car, another house, more clothes, different vacation. She wants more of me than I can possibly give. She wants me to do this. She wants me to do that. I cannot satisfy that woman. Even after you die, sometimes it's hard. Bill died. He left specific instructions in his will for a very elaborate funeral that would cost $30,000. He set it aside in escrow, and she was to use that money for the funeral. As the last visitors departed the service, her best friend came to her, and she said Bill would be well pleased. Said, how much did you spend? She said, all $30,000. All $30,000. That's amazing. I mean, it was nice, but $30,000? She said, well, the funeral was $6,500. I donated $500 to the church, gave $500 for food and drinks for everybody, and the rest went for the memorial stone. She calculated quickly and said, $22,500 for a memorial stone? How big was it? 4.5 carats, she said, 4.5 carats. Even after we're gone, sometimes they want more. Ladies, let me ask you a real serious question. Do you respect them? It's interesting to me that there are no qualifiers here. Only respect him if, and ladies, you fill in that blank. Now, if he invites you into sinful stuff, that's wrong, period. But ladies, do you respect the man God's given you? Are you grateful for the man God's given you? Do you speak highly of him to your friends? Do you speak highly of him at work, to your kids? Or are you constantly, yeah, 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 yeah? What are you? after the last hour, I had six guys say, where can I order that? Second thing we need, second desire of dudes, is intimacy. We women spell intimacy T-A-L-K. Ladies, men spell intimacy how? Yeah, it's pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, it is. You think of the process. We think of the product. You think of the beginning and the whole way through. We think of the end. That's just the reality of who we are. I mean, that's the reality of who we are. In a few weeks, we're going to devote an entire message to sexual relationship from the Song of Solomon. Next week, I'm going to talk about the myth of the greener grass. Some people would say, Gary, you got those out of order. In our family, intimacy is number one, respect number two. Could be. In a lot of men's, it's true. But I'm going to tell you this, ladies. Here's the reality. If a man does not feel respected by his wife, a sexual relationship is not something he's going to enjoy. If there's anything worse than not having a sexual relationship with your spouse, it's having a sexual relationship with a spouse that really doesn't want to participate. And we talk about sexual intimacy here because it's very important for a woman to understand this. Now, it's a painful topic for some, I know. Your bedrooms are like the North Pole in the middle of the winter. You sleep in separate bedrooms, and I've said many times in the past few months, you sleep in separate bedrooms. Your excuse is he snores or she snores, but the reality of it is your relationship has become so cold, you'd rather not sleep in the same bed. That's the reality of it. And that's tragic. That's not the way God wants a husband and wife to live together. Now, I know there are people with health issues and aging issues. I'm not talking to you today. You've got health issues and aging issues and sexual relationship as a memory of the past. Let me just give you one piece of advice. You can still have intimacy. Your wife, guys, still desires to be cuddled and held and cared for. Likewise, that man does as well until the day you go to your grave. But ladies, there's a disconnect here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, do not deprive one another, speaking about the sexual relationship, except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Let me unpack that verse for you. He says, don't deprive one another, don't be sexually apart, except by mutual consent. You both agree for a time, literally it's a word season there, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. He's saying you fast, basically, from a physical relationship with your spouse because there's some pending thing that you want to devote yourself to in prayer. It says only for a season, though, and you've got to decide what that season is, and it's only for prayer because of an issue. And he says, if not, you're going to let Satan weasel his way into your marriage, and that husband or that wife is going to look for a sexual relationship outside the boundaries of marriage. That is wrong, no matter what, but he's saying that's the reality. Ladies, the typical wife does not understand her husband's deep need for sex any more than the typical husband understands his wife's deep need for affection. We're going to talk about that in depth in a few weeks on August the 1st. Ladies, your greatest love language is communication. For many of your husbands, it's physical touch. It's having a sexual relationship. I agree with this statement to Emerson Eckridge in Love and Respect says, wives, what if your husband didn't talk to you for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, or 3 months? You would think that's abominable. You'd have Gary on speed dial calling him saying, you can't believe the way my husband is treating me. He hadn't talked to me in 3 weeks. He hadn't talked to me in 6 weeks. He hadn't talked to me in 3 months. That's your love language, ladies. So what if your husband has not had a physical relationship in 3 weeks, 6 weeks, or 6 months? Why? I mean, this is an important aspect of who he is and what makes him a man. There are two books I'm going to highly recommend to you. Shannon mentioned them in the announcement video. One is Intimate Issues by Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus. The other is Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman. A wise man will buy Intimate Issues for his wife and give it to her as a gift. Wise parents will give their daughter, who is married or getting married or in high school, not high school, but college and older, was going to buy this book and give it. And I don't get any royalties from any of this stuff. There's a book table in the hallway, but it talks about the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife, and especially addresses women. Almost every book addresses men. This addresses women. Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman, Uncovering the Secrets of Sexual Intimacy in Marriage. I'll refer to both of them in a couple of weeks when we talk about how to put sizzle into your sex. Ladies, I want to give you four words. You ready? Not in a bulletin, not anywhere else. Four words I want you to write down. Number one, purity. Purity. I ding on the guys all the time. I beat them up all the time. I talk about pornography all the time. I talk about that stuff. But here's the reality, ladies. It takes two to tangle. There's always a woman involved in an adulterous relationship. You find an attraction developing between you and a man that you're not married to, you run. Beginning to share your feelings with another man, you begin talking about how bad your marriage is, how bad your husband is, you run. You find yourself dressing to please some man at work, you run. You find yourself lingering over a hug when you greet or leave someone, you run. You find yourself hands meeting across a copy machine as you pass a piece of paper and you fantasize about more ladies, you run. You run. You be modest and you make sure that you run from such things. Let me talk about modesty for a second. This week I looked at several videos, and one of the videos I watched was Esther by Beth Moore, a sermon or a teaching she did called Mean Girls. In that sermon, she asked this question, or she made this statement. Ladies, be careful who you show your breast to. Do you hear what I'm saying, ladies? Modesty is becoming of a godly woman. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3, it specifically talks about women and modesty. Men are excited sexually through sight. That's why 98% of all pornography is geared to men. Godly Christian women are modest Christian women. You dress modestly. How do you dress at the gym? How do you dress for work? How do you dress at the swimming pool? How do you dress at church? Why are you showing what you're showing, ladies? Knowing that we as men struggle with that. A godly Christian woman doesn't flaunt her cleavage. She doesn't wear her dresses and her shorts hiked up showing things she shouldn't show. I was real specific with men this week. Ladies, do you catch my drift? Ladies? Okay. A lot of silence out there. And we're not going to start pulling out tape measures. We're not going to do that kind of stuff. I mean, that's not right. But when you come to summer fun in a few weeks, be modest. See, here's a question. Who are you dressing for? And what are you teaching your daughters? Who are you dressing for? I don't want my wife showing her stuff to other men. I don't want that. Buy a camisole and put under a low-cut thing. Secondly, the way you dress, that's how your little girl's going to dress one day. She is modeling what you wear. We are not a legalistic bunch here, but the Word of God is very clear. Now, ladies, you don't have to be dowdy. Man, my wife is not dowdy. You can look at her, she's not dowdy. She dresses well, but she dresses modestly. That's what a godly woman does. And be cutting edge. Man, go to the mall and enjoy the things God has created, but do it modestly. That's what a godly woman does. Who are you showing your stuff to? Why are you dressing the way you're dressing? Who are you seeking to please? You dress first of all for God. You dress secondly for your husband. That's what a godly woman does. Capiche? Capiche. So we move on from there. The second word is passion. Passion. Every man desires to have a passionate wife. A wife who enjoys him and wants to be with him. A wife who displays passion in life and passion in the bedroom. In Linda Dillo's book, she writes these words. In researching material for this book, we learned a bit of interesting trivia. Reportedly, a young woman yawned continuously for 5 weeks. 5 weeks without closing her mouth. Imagine that. Has to be a record. But many women we talk to indicate their sexual relationship with their husband is like one long yawn. Boring. Ho-hum sex will bore anyone. What is ho-hum sex? Always making love the same way, always making love at the same time, always making love in the same place. If you are like every woman we know, you've probably gotten bored with cooking, cleaning, driving, carpool, and perhaps sex. So what can we do? We each have a choice to make, to continue cooking plain spaghetti or to graduate to pasta Alfredo. I love pasta Alfredo. What's true in the kitchen is true in the bedroom. A wise woman once told us, if I was still cooking the same five meals I prepared when we were newlyweds and nothing else, we would dread eating. Over the years, I spiced up my recipes and added variety. Every sexual meal, quote unquote, needs spice and variety. Are you still serving the same sexual meals you made the first year of marriage, or have you spiced up the menu? Now, guys, do you want to go buy that book or not to read the rest of that? Okay, I'm stopping right there because we've got kids in here. In a couple of weeks, I'll be doing more. Every man in here desires passion from his wife. He wants you to be passionate, ladies. He wants you to be passionate. Thirdly, he wants it to be a priority. I mean, what are the priorities in your life? Is he a priority? Is a sexual relationship between you as a couple a priority? Or is it something that happens every several weeks just because you know he's getting frustrated, he's getting mad, and you've got to do it? Finally, pursuit. Every man desires for his wife to pursue him. Every man I know. Ladies, I want you to write down two words. I've had you write these down before under pursuit. Number one, initiate. I-N-I-T-I-A-T-E. Initiate a sexual relationship with your husband. Ladies, make sure, husbands, make sure your ladies have their pins right there. Initiate. You may be collecting life insurance if you do that, ladies. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, some of you have not initiated a sexual relationship with your husband in so long, it would floor him and he would die of a heart attack right on the spot. In all the years I've been here, only one time actually, have I had a man walk in and say, you know, my wife is initiating sexual activity too often. Pastor Gary, I just can't stand it. Do you have advice for me? That doesn't happen. Second word, ladies, you got your pens ready? Initiate. Nightgowns is the second word. Nightgowns. Why do you wear two layers of flannel in the summertime? Every wise man encourages his wife to go to Victoria's Secret. Amen, guys? I mean, just be smart. Ladies, don't play dumb. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Thirdly, or here we go. How do you treat a woman? You whine her, you dine her, you call her, you hold her, you surprise her, you compliment her, smile her, listen to her, believe in her, pray with her, pray for her, cuddle with her, shop with her, give her jewelry, buy her flowers, hold her hand, write love letters to her, go to the ends of the earth and back again for her. How do you treat a man? Show up naked, bring chicken wings, and don't block the TV. I got an amen out of that. Maybe we are not as complex as I think we are. I don't know. Affirmation. Ladies, your husband has a great need for you to affirm him. Do you realize that? He has a great need for you to be his number one cheerleader, his number one fan. He needs to hear it from you. He needs to know that you are important, that he is important to you. He doesn't need a nag. He doesn't need another mama. Ladies, some of you are your husband's mamas. By the way, one of my pet peeves, a lot of you new to TBC, you don't let me hear a man calling his wife mama and a husband calling his wife daddy. She is not your mama and he is not your daddy. Daddy, where do you want to go for lunch today? Don't do it in front of me. I mean, that's just stupid. Proverbs says this, it's better to live in the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. He said, it's better to go live in a roof than with a nagging wife. Then he goes on in Proverbs, it's better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. It's better to go live in West Texas in the middle of the desert than to have a wife who's always nagging, always bossy, always fighting. Proverbs says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. These come from God's inerrant word, ladies. Nobody wants to be married to a nag. I mean, nobody wants to be married to that. Guess which one's the lady? Let me ask you some questions, ladies. When's the last time you wrote him a note telling him how proud you were of him? When's the last time in front of the kids you thanked him for providing for your family? When's the last time you called his parents and bragged on him? When's the last time you affirmed him just by saying, I love you deeply? You know, I've had the guys turn to the women a bunch in this series. Ladies, it's a great time for you to turn to your husbands right now if you're and just affirm them and appreciate them and thank God for them. You've got a husband sitting next to you, a fiancé sitting next to you. You've got a boyfriend, girlfriend sitting next to you. Look them in the eyes and thank God for them. Socrates said this, by all means marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. Jay Leno said, why do some men die before their wives? Because they want to. Responsiveness. Ladies, in Ephesians chapter 5, the first three verses we looked at, verses 23 through 24, said, wives, be submissive to your husbands as unto the Lord. In the context, it talks about being submissive to one another, then it talks about wives being submissive to their husbands. The Greek word for submission is a compound word, hupotasso. It means to arrange yourself under, to rank yourself under. It's a military term. The command is for you to submit to the husband God's given you. Submission is not dictatorship. It's not a master-slave relationship. It's not an unloving relationship. It's not a commander-in-chief relationship. Guys, if you ever have to use the word submit to me, you lost that battle a long time ago. But a wife lovingly submits to the man that God has given her because that man is lovingly leading her before God. Ladies, it doesn't mean that anybody's brighter, anybody's smarter, anybody has a higher role. My wife is bright. She is willing to engage with me. I like a little Tabasco in my gumbo, if you know what I mean. I mean, I'm glad she's spicy at times. I'm glad she challenges me at times. I'm glad that she makes me think. And in life, there aren't that many huge decisions where you should be polar opposites. But there are times when we go to make a decision, and at that time, we come to an impasse, and it's my responsibility to make that decision. It should be few and far between that those times happen. Ladies, are you hard to lead? If you were honest, a number of you ladies would raise your hand and say, you know, I follow kicking and screaming. He's got to drag me every step of the way. I know I'm smarter. I know I make better decisions. And so it's hard for me to follow. Responsiveness. Finally, your man needs friendship with other men. Ladies, I talked about that last week, about you, how you needed women in your life to sharpen you, to challenge you, and to change you. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Ladies, some of you are jealous because your husband has relationships with other guys and he wants to do stuff with other guys at times. You should be grateful. Now, men, there are two questions we have to ask ourselves about the other men we hang out with. Who are they and where are we gone? Who are they? See, some of your wives do need to be concerned. You know why? Because you're not hanging out with the kind of people that are going to draw you closer to Christ. I'm not talking about going to hang out with the guys five nights a week. I'm talking about hanging out with guys who are going to challenge you, who are going to sharpen you, who are going to change you. There are men in my life who become dear friends of mine in this body who I spend time with, who challenge me, who sharpen me, who have changed me, and Bev is the beneficiary of that. You get some men in your life like that? Who are those guys? Who are those guys? Here's my challenge to every man. Who are your six pallbearers going to be at your funeral? Who are those close friends that you make that list out for? Say, these are the dudes I hope carry me out. Where are you going? See, some of your wives should be concerned because you go to places you shouldn't go to. All the dudes are hanging out after work today and they're headed to a topless bar in Killeen. Why would a godly man even consider that? Why? It should never happen in a godly man's life. It shouldn't happen. All the guys are gone out Friday night and we're gone to get wasted. Not what a godly man does. A godly man doesn't get wasted. A godly man grows in Christ and challenges other men. Now, ladies, I mean, yesterday I told Bev, some of my friends, I'm into disc golf, throwing disc. I believe it or not, you know, I used to have hair down to here, and we used to throw frisbees back in the 70s. So I can still throw a disc, even with young guys. And bad, like, hey, is it okay with you if I go play disc golf for a couple of hours? And sure, go ahead. She didn't have to think twice about it. She knows who I'm with. She knows where I'm gone. She also knows I got my cell phone, and I'll come running if she calls. Okay? Where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you hanging with? Godly women treat their husbands like kings because they know if they do, they'll be treated like queens. How are you treating your husbands, ladies? You respecting them? Loving them? Caring for them? Honoring him? Affirming him? Encouraging him? This past week, I not only watched a couple of Beth Moore videos, but I Googled up a good friend, not a good friend, I never met him, but a guy I loved to hear preach when he was alive, E.V. Hill. How many of you heard E.V. Hill? Maybe at a Promise Keepers or somewhere. Powerful African-American preacher. He died in 2007, I think it was. Powerful African-American preacher in inner city Los Angeles. And if you Google up E.V. Hill, listen to him preach his wife's funeral. Ha. Huh. Sat in my office bawling like a baby. One of the secretaries walks in and says, "You okay?" I said, "No, really, I'm not. I just listened to this guy preach his wife's funeral about 7 or 8 years ago." You Google it up, E.V. Hill preaching. It'd be one of the first things you heard. In that funeral message, he talks about his wife, Jane. He doesn't call her Jane, he calls her baby. He talks about baby. And he talks about baby, and he says, "This happened when I was a young man." He says, "I was a struggling young preacher. I even had a service station on the side to make ends meet." He was what we call a bivocational preacher. And his little church was struggling. His service station was struggling. And money was tight. He says, "I came home one day at the end of a day. When I opened the door, there was my baby. She had prepared a candlelight dinner for two." He said, "I looked at her and looked at the dinner and thought, this is going to be a great night. What a great idea my baby had. Then I went to the bathroom to wash my hands." He said, "When I went to flip on the switch, still had darkness. So I went into our bedroom and I flipped on the switch and it was still darkness. So I came to the dining room and said, 'Baby, what's up? It's dark in the house everywhere except for candles she had spread throughout the house.' And she began to cry. She said, 'Evie, you work so hard and you're doing the best you can. And you trust me with the money. And I've been working a little bit on the side, but just couldn't pay the light bill this month. And so I thought we could have a candlelight dinner together.'" Boy, and if you listen to this online, his words are filled with emotion. He said, "My baby." She could have said, "I've never been in a situation like this before. I'm the daughter of Dr. Carruthers." You see, her father had a PhD from Cornell in the 1930s and had been the president of a university. She could have looked at me and said, I am the daughter of Dr. Carruthers and we have never had our lights cut off. Or she could have looked at me and broken my spirit and she could have ruined me and demoralized me. But instead, she looked at me and said, "Baby, honey," she called him, "honey, tonight we're celebrating and having a candlelight dinner." Ladies, that's what we're talking about. A woman who loved and cared for her husband so much that even in a difficult time, even in difficult times, she loved him. She gave herself to him. What about you, ladies? Father, we pray for a lot of folks this day. Some folks right now on a very shaky foundation at home. Marriages are not what they should be. They've come here for hope, and I pray you've given them hope today. Others of us in marriages we didn't think could be this good. And we're grateful. Most of us somewhere in between. If you're here today and your marriage isn't what it should be, I'm going to tell you it starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that, you're on a faulty foundation and your home will become a house of cards if it's not already there. Or if you're here today and you've got the greatest marriage in this room, why don't you just praise God, thank God for it. If you're single today, why don't you ask God to make you the type of person who will be that attractive to the future spouse that God may have for you. your parent today, a grandparent today, pray that you'll model what marriage should look like to the next generations. You're here today and you know that things need to change in your life. Would you ask God to make you that type of woman, especially this day? Father, we've heard from you. We spoke hard truth, but we spoke in truth. And I pray now that you would take these words and let us be doers of the word and not merely hearers. We go our way in Christ's name. Amen. And you're dismissed.